It sounds to me like that's a dual band HT, and it's probably 2-meter 440. The V is for VHF, and the U is probably UHF. Not being familiar with that particular unit, that would be my assumption. A lot of the radios will not transmit as high power on UHF as they do VHF. And Andy was pretty well right about the the contour of the ground. I'll get that other word out in a minute. But VHF, I'm sure you remember from your test booklets and things, the study questions that you studied. VHF and UHF is line of sight. I can take my little HT I can go in the front yard and I can receive, but I can't hit the repeater. I walk up to the end of the house and change my X, as we call it, change my location, and I can hit the repeater. Sometimes you can move it as little as 6 inches or as much as, you know, half a mile or whatever. But sometimes you don't have to move, but just a foot or two, moving the HT around. And like you said, in the car, sitting on your knee is where you get the best reception. So you understand what I just said about moving it around. But that would be my assumption on the 7 watts V and the 6 watts U, I think.
PXB, KO4NUE. Okay, so I want you to pay attention to what's happening here. And if you don't remember anything else that what people tell you tonight, I want you to remember this. As you have questions during the week, write them down on a piece of paper. Now, you can ask your questions any time during the net, during, after the formal portion, during the RagTube portion. Let people go ahead and check in with their radios and get their call signs out there. And then when the net controller asks for RagTube portion, you can bring your questions there. However, I would like to add that on Tuesday nights, K4OIM, and all of the wisdom on this net, and there's a bunch of wisdom on this net, they check in on Tuesday nights to help answer questions for any new or old operators, because with this hobby, you're never going to stop learning. So write your questions down and bring them to the table on Tuesday nights. There will be enough wisdom on this net to answer any question you have about ham radio. They can get you in the right direction and do it in a way that's, very helpful. There's no stupid question, and nobody's going to pick or laugh or anything like that. Whatever the question is, just ask it. Because you're not going to be successful you're not going to be successful quickly if you try to learn all of this on your own, because it's too much to learn. And you can save a lot of time, a lot of frustration, and a lot of money by bringing your questions here to get them answered. So KO4NUE, KO4PXB, and anybody else that would like to comment.
KO4PXB, due to the fact that I live in a place with horrible HOA, I'm trying to find a little antenna that I can put out. And I guess even in a temporary basis where people won't see it, because we have a real horrible HOA.
JBQ, KO4NUE. Can you help Lloyd with that, sir?
Good evening, Lloyd. It's good to make your acquaintance. Glad that Chad is the kind of encouraging guy that he is. Well, so I live in an HOA also. I've been a ham for coming up on 10 years. And HOAs are different everywhere you go. It depends on who the management group is that runs the HOA and how serious they are about keeping things out of the air. That'll depend on a number of factors. I think the greatest one might be that if your utilities are underground, there are no wires in the air, and any little wire stands out. And I don't know how, I don't mean to discourage you at all, but there are, in my HOA, people who are enlisted to walk the grounds and look for infractions. Oh, it's a little complicated because this particular HOA owns the ground. We own the footprint of the house. And putting a flower, as my wife would occasionally like to plant something out front of the house, maybe, that's a no-no unless you approach the architectural committee and submit a plan and with drawings and impact and all that kind of thing. So people don't bother. And putting an antenna up has to be very stealth. That's the word you're looking for if you search, oh, say, YouTube or something. Stealth antennas. And they can come in a lot of forms, and depending on your skills, it might even involve the gutters on the house or the building itself. You can load up or make an antenna out of your gutters, or a very fine wire. If you're using low power, you can use a 28 gauge wire, which is quite fine and hard to see. I hope that's been helpful, and thank you for everything you've done for us all. KK4JPQ.
Oh, it's KO4TXC. Yeah, I was wondering if there was anything such as, like in the military days, with the Freak 77, where you would make a field plane, do a ground plane antenna, where you just bring a series of antenna and ground, made a big Y out of it. And we did that one day, actually, in Iraq, the first one. And we actually communicated 32 miles with that ground plane antenna.
Well, I do believe, if I can speak to that, let me just make sure I've got it for JPQ. Lloyd, I think you're in the right area there. And it does depend on how your deed reads, because and whether the HOA has a hold over your deed. If that's a formal part of the agreement for you to move in, and you own the house, but the deed is restricted. That's what's held over people here. Your deed is at risk, even if you have your house paid for. Mortgage is retired. They can challenge your use of the land, which is not formally your own. I think the ground plane antenna is a good idea. If it can be disguised, that's another trick of people who want to remain stealth. To disguise the antenna as something else. It can be as obvious as a flagpole. It can be dressed up to look like a planter, or other such things that could be mistaken for serving another purpose, not exactly an antenna. KK4JBQ.
A U.S. flag that I'm flying in my yard. It's definitely even though it's an aluminum pole, it probably still should work the same, correct?
As you describe it, I think that'd be correct. But I'll get it confirmed. What do you think there, Chad? KK4JBQ.
This is where I think he needs to start. So, you know what the problem is. The problem is HOA and what kind of antenna. So what you put on your car, that's got nothing to do with the HOA. So that'll get you, you know, moving around where you can communicate. So where I would start, Lloyd, is do you have attic space? I think a J-pole needs to go in the attic and, you know, try it. If that doesn't work, then, you know, we'll move on to the next one. But a J-pole in the attic, and you run the coax down the attic and, you know, into a living space of somehow, and you just screw your handy talkie into it, and give it a shot. So we can do a J-pole, or we can do a Slim Jim, or whatever. And I just happen to know somebody that's kind of decent at building J-poles and Slim Jims. And I noticed yesterday that your address was good up on QRZ. So I've got some scrap copper pipe down here, so I'll build you a little Slim Jim, and you stick it in the attic and go from there. If any other operator out there that sees the issue with that, please let us know.
Where else he got? I don't wish except for one thing. What kind of roof does he have over the attic? If he's got a steel roof over the attic, that might shield it. But if it's just a regular single roof, he's good to go. Someone pick it up, KI4LCI.
KI4DOS. Said he had a flag out front, and it's on an aluminum mast or flagpole. He can make that, he can turn that into a antenna, and it would already be outside. He may have to kind of hide his feed line coming into the house, but that would work as well. Not saying not to do it that way or to do it that way, but if he's got attic space, a J-pole in the attic works real well. I've done that before. Have also put up a 2-meter dipole in the attic, and that worked as well. There's always kind of ways we can twist things and turn them around, so other folks won't know exactly what they are, or if they do, they probably won't say anything.
Lloyd, I know you're about the Holly Tree plantation. That's back to where I live at. I live on the Holly Tree. That's about where the Holly Tree golf course is, and unfortunately also the president of HOA lives right across the street from this, so can't get away with anything.
Let me make sure I got it. So, a 2-meter dipole is a wonderful idea. I think that would work really well, and I'm going to say at that frequency, it's not going to be too long. But a Slim Jim or a dipole or a J-pole, one of the two, one of the three. And as far as all of the experienced guys out there listening, you kind of see where we're going to go here. So, which is a good thing. We're going to end up with that nasty, nasty word, impedance, again. So, here we go. Go ahead and get it, somebody.
CKB.
Thanks, Lloyd.
back to that the Slim Jim roll-up dipole, if you have vinyl siding on the corners of the house where the vinyl siding gets tucked in, I have mine just hidden right into that corner. I just tuck it in. You can't even see it. And, you know, just to what KI4LZI said, it's all about the topography and the line of sight. So just figure out what corner of your house is, and then you can maybe tuck that roll-up dipole Slim Jim in that vinyl siding, and that might do the trick. And you're not out of a whole lot of money if it doesn't work. It's like $35.
Well, we're Roger. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
Can you give him some feels on where to find that?
If you're on the Google machine, you just look up N9TAX. I guess it's his call sign. It's a November 9 Tango Alpha X-ray. So just Google N9TAX and antennas. And he makes them. They're made in the USA. He makes them for 2 meter or just, or dual band or GMRS. And then you can, you know, specify what connection you want. If you're using something like a TYT or Anytone or Baofeng, whatever, it'll get the right connection for you. And, it works good for me. I've been using this, rain or shine, but sometimes I use a different antenna, a better antenna, but this is my go-to, and I'm talking through it right now.
Is that Slim Jim made out of 300-ohm antenna, what we used to use for antennas years ago? It's a flat antenna feed line. It's 300-ohm, and it's about a half-inch wide.
More closer to the three-quarter, one-inch wide. It's, I don't know the ohms on it, but it's a ladder line, and then there's a little ferrite bead at the bottom. And then on one of the openings of the ladder line, there's a cutout. It looks like maybe it was a defect, but it's supposed to do that to do the dual band. But now it's just a ladder line, and it's wider than a half inch.
Okay, that's probably 450-ohm ladder line. I've got some of that here at the house, Chad.
Next time we meet up, I'll pick some up, and, Lord, we'll build you an antenna. And Duncan, you are the master of stealth. I have never thought about that, tucking it in the corner of the house. That's pretty slick. So, Lord, I'll pick up some ladder line from Gary, and we'll sit down and discuss frequencies and what you want to do with it. And I'll get you one built and send it out to you. How's that?
Roger. Appreciate it.
Miss me one thing.
Always.
When the president of the HOA comes out and waves and smile at you, you just smile and wave right back, okay?
Will do.
KO4NUE.
KO4PSP. Here's my next question. The Morse code chatter comes on. Does it interfere with anything to talk over or just wait?
Gary?
That's just the repeater identifying itself as W4NYK stroke R is what you're actually hearing. And that's the Morse code for that. That identifies the repeater. You can transmit over the top of it. It's people will hear you and the repeater identifying itself. But I normally wait that way. You don't have to struggle to hear me over the repeater. I tell people I let the man on the mountain have his say. And that's just letting the repeater identify, but you can talk over the top of it. It won't hurt it.
Because I wasn't sure I didn't want to step on anybody and cause interference with them trying to send out their message.
Sure, I got it. So, every licensed station is required to identify. So, when you studied for the exam, I'm pretty sure on the exam you're required to identify, I think, every 10 minutes or something like that. So, when you get 10 minutes into a conversation, you will say KO4PXB or your call. Well, the repeater is no different because it's transmitting. It's transmitting what other people are saying, but it is still transmitting, and it is required to identify as well. But instead of having a robotic voice and come over and say, this is the W4YNK stroke R repeater, and some of them do that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's quicker, faster, and less obtrusive to identify with Morse code. And you will hear it identify, I want to say it's every 10 or 15 minutes. But you can talk over it, and it's not going to obstruct anything. It is a requirement that I identify every 10 minutes, but it is not a requirement that everybody listen to it every 10 minutes. So when you hear someone like Gary say, let's give the man on the mountain his opportunity to speak, what he's referring to is the repeater is on top of Caesar's Head Mountain. And if you listen to the preamble, they'll tell you exactly roughly where it is on top of the mountain. And when Gary says, let's let the man on the mountain have his say, what he means is, let's take a brief pause and let the repeater identify. And when it's done identifying, then you pick back up with your conversation just like you never missed a beat. The other thing, too, is as far as identifying goes, when you are talking with someone and you identify, it's like I said, I think it's supposed to be every 10 minutes, sometimes, the conversation goes longer and you get four or five people involved in the conversation. And sometimes we forget to identify. So just to keep everybody from getting in some kind of trouble, which I don't think they would, you will hear some of the more experienced hams identify for you. And what that will sound like is, this is KO4NUE. And KO4PXB and KI4DOS and KK4JBQ and KI4LZI. Now, I just identified for everybody, and technically, we're good for another 10 minutes because we all forget sometimes. So if you hear that, that's just a way of helping each other out. If I've got that right, somebody pick it up.
So, see, well, near the end right there, Chad, is how it used to be way, way, way back. Here on 2 meters and whatnot, where everybody had to give everybody in the group's call, then their own call, then pass it on around like that. It's not per se that you got to do that now in that way, as long as you identify your own call sign, but that's how it used to be a long time ago. And sometimes a lot of people still do that, and in some ways, as you say, that might be a good thing to do still. Like I'm going to say right now, KI4LZI, but people who've been in this here for 50, 60, 70 years, if they're still on here and still living, would do it in that form or fashion. KI4LCI.
EXB, you still in there?
Making a general statement about today being Veterans Day. Also, make a very well-known point when, especially when you see a veteran with a add-on and any other day besides today, be sure to thank them because it doesn't happen enough.
Right, Lloyd, and today's our day. And, today's our day. I'll leave it at that. So, Lloyd, I'm not trying to cut anything short at all. I'm just going to let you know, hey, I am really proud of you and want to continue to encourage you to, this is where you can come to get your answers, your questions answered. And don't be ashamed or afraid to ask any question regarding, ham radio. sometimes you can get answers to other questions, but, that gets on up after midnight. I'd just like to encourage you to, keep checking in. And as these questions pop up, just jot them down. And, just bring it here. I'm sure that there are probably other places you can go to get some of your questions answered. But I can truthfully say that when you ask a question in an open forum like this, where everybody knows that they are trying to contribute to your growth and advancement in this hobby. Let me word it this way. If you have a one-on-one conversation with somebody and ask a question about ham radio, from my experience, depending on who you're talking to, you may not get a correct answer. You may just get some kind of mumbo-jumbo that somebody thinks they know. But by coming in an open forum like this, you have sort of like a ring of wisdom to where you're not asking, okay, I need an exact answer to this. What you're going to get is you're going to have some of the wisdom come into that circle and say, okay, it's been my experience that this works, or it has been my experience that works. And you'll get some of that, and some of it will be just point-blank fact. No, that's the way it is. There's, no way around it or so on and so forth. But as far as your antenna goes, trust me, that is... I wish you'd have been here 2 months ago. this is a never-ending problem for any operator. It's like a race car. Bigger, faster, stronger. It's just like anything else, But you will find that if you'll bring that to the smart people, they're going to get you right on track real quick, save you the most amount of money possible to get you contributing to, or continuing to serve. And I know that's why you're here. You're wanting to continue to serve. You just got to figure out how to make that radio serve and how to help. But you got to figure out how to be effective with that. And this group right here is going to help you do that. KO4NUE, KO4PXB. Go ahead and take it. Or KK4JBQ. Pick it up, Larry.
Well, just to add something on top of what Chad just said,
I can affirm that the people that I've met in this area, KI4DOS being chief among them, are terribly helpful. As far as the hobby goes and just general life, too. Everyone has what they might, what you might call an expertise. For some people, it might be antennas. For other people, it might be, CW or digital modes these days. And they will know the most because they've been working at it. They've been successful at it. And those are the people you want to listen to if that's your interest, too. It's just like any other thing. No one will put themselves out there as experts, I don't think. We are amateurs, after all. But we all work at it. I know Chad is interested, well, in many things, but he's expressed that his next step might be CW. I've been working on that for over a year, with slow progress, I'll admit it. But living in an HOA, antennas is always an interest of mine. I'm talking I didn't mention this before, but I'm talking on a mobile antenna. I have around my patio a 6-foot privacy fence, and I just put that little mobile antenna up there in the privacy fence. About 7 inches sticks up above the fence, and it's very slender. It's not noticeable, but that's what I'm using. It comes right into the house, and it's very convenient that way. I could not use the original supplied antenna. I don't think I could get across the street on that. Somebody, I think it might have been Andy, said that it was a dummy load. A dummy load is, by design, intended not to radiate. So that's the meaning. Back to you, KK4JBQ.
4PXB, when you're mentioning adding to the expertise, so if anyone ever needs computer questions, I've been doing computer repairs, and I'm the server manager for Sprunk Lake County Local Government, so please do ask, and I can definitely work on getting an answer for you.
BQ, well, that's generous of you. I know there are folks here with computer questions. You let that be known, and you'll be busy. KK4JBQ, back to you, Chad.
Pass on a little something that I learned a couple of weeks ago. So there's a lot of reasons that people get into this hobby, a lot. It's not just one reason. For some people, it's wanting to find a way to continue to serve. For other people, it's having another means of communication in case, the internet goes down. For some people, it's reporting weather. For some people, it's safety. It's a lot of things. I don't think you can ever stop listing everything that this hobby is good for. But last week, I'm going to share an experience. Well, not last week, but about 3 weeks ago, I went to France. And right before I went to France, I was able to send a written message, which is basically, think of it kind of like an email. I was able to send a written message or email across the United States with no internet using my radio. Their slow scan TV, slow scan. Some people get into slow scan TV stuff where you can send images all the way around the world with listen to your radio and no internet. And to me, that is absolutely fascinating to be able to do that. But I went to France a couple of weeks ago and ran into a situation where I had a family member that had some medical issues. Had to come home a little early. Cell phone service was totally unreliable in France. So I utilized EchoLink and activated a message on the South Carolina single sideband, which is a high frequency network, and was able to get a message to a family member halfway around the world when the infrastructure that I pay for didn't work. So this system works. It works well, but you have to become a master at learning to control it and how to use it. So you just keep that in mind. I know this antenna thing you might be struggling with right now, it might be a struggle for you. You may not think it's a struggle right now, but I think you may be starting to see that a little bit, especially with a rubber ducky. But I don't think anybody that's on this net hasn't been through that. And like Duncan said, he's got it figured out. He's got it down pat. So, you know, utilize those operators as a resource and learn to manage and govern what you got. So let me let this thing drop, and I'm going to say one more thing. In the military, when you use some of their frequencies, you're not restricted. You can use as much wattage as that little switch says you can use. And you don't have to ask anybody for permission. You just do it. Well, it's not like that here on the amateur radio side. The FCC gives you a certain amount of wattage that you can play with, and that's it. So that forces you to become a master at your trade, because it forces you to manage what you have and use it the most effectively you can. And if you think about it, that's not a bad thing, because that makes you leaner, meaner, faster, stronger, and makes you use to the most what you've got. And you may initially think that's a bad thing, because I did, but it's really not. It's more than enough once you learn to manage. But KO4NUE, KO4PXB, KK4JBQ, KI4LZI. So somebody pick it up.
JBQ. On what you said there, Chad, if we are restricted, and certainly we are, and the mantra is to use as little power as it takes to establish a reliable connection. That's just what we live by. Now, some people will take that to an extreme. You'll see extremes whenever human beings are involved. You'll find extremes. So there are folks who tried to use the smallest amount of power to travel the furthest distance. And I can't quote the exact number. It changes from time to time, because there's always people after this trophy. But think about it. 10,000 miles on a half a watt of power, it's not unrealistic. So there are people who like to shoot for the lowest and most effective signal that you can manage. Just thought I'd add that. KK4JBQ.
some past stuff before amateur radio was licensed back in 1912 that the power limit was set back at that time when amateur radio was first being licensed, because it was quoted back at that time by the Navy Department the amateurs was overriding the Navy and military type communications back at the time. This is way, way back. I don't remember now where I read it. It was somewhere where I read about when amateur licensing first started in about August, September 1912. The amateurs were running everything they could run, literally, on the spark gap communications. And that's somewhat where your power limits kind of started at and become in amateur radio. I don't know if I'll still be in here when y'all come back around to me, but right about, I'm going to go ahead probably and sign out for now. When I come back later, if y'all still here, I'll come back in. But some of that power limiting for amateur radio started about that time, because you had the military fussing about amateur radio operators at the time running more power than they was. And back at that time, there was no, you got to remember, no allocations. Everybody was operating all together. There was no allocations back in 1912 and before. KI4LZI.
DXB, you still in there?
With DXB, Roger. Yeah, the reason definitely wanted to get an antenna is to just be able to talk further more than just a rubber ducky, even though it's doing well in this area. And I will get a magnetic mount for the truck. I've already been kind of using the internet to look at one, to get an idea for one.
Okay. All right, well, Lord, is that's a lot. You ought to be pretty good and wiped out by now. So it just takes a lot out of you to, you know, start that initial conversation and get over that initial jump of making contact. So you've made contact, which I personally would consider a benchmark in starting this hobby. But you've gone beyond that, and you've not only established, you know, a net check-in, but you have asked some really good questions, really good. And I would encourage you to continue to do that and continue to try to, you know, make your station better and, you know, better, faster, stronger, just like the $6 million man. But try to do it without spending $6 million. But there's a lot more to learn, a lot more. And, you know, just want to just reassure you, if you did the right thing, proud to have you a member of this community, and glad you made that benchmark. But I'm gonna start to close my station down. I'm gonna hang around for a few more comments, but I just want to make sure that you're welcome here, and you bring your questions anytime you want. But Tuesday night is the best time to do that. But KK4JBQ, KO4NUE, and KO4PXB. One of y'all pick it up, and I'm going to give you about a 10 or 15 minute warning. KO4NUE, somebody pick it up.
Chad, I listened to your whole story when you were talking about you're preparing to go to France with the strawberry pack, and just to let you know that, you know, I also traveled to France, and I went to 11 different countries during just my trip and my stay in Germany, so I definitely enjoyed them. So I definitely know what it's like in different countries. I've had chinchilla. I've had, if it's crawling around and edible, I've eaten it.
JBQ, go ahead and take it, bud.
JBQ. Just something else, Lloyd, that I'd like to pass along to you. It goes largely unsaid until there's some trouble. But we all know that we cannot hear ourselves. This is an issue. So it's perfectly all right. It's understandable. To check, make sure you can be heard. On 2 meters, it's as simple as that. On HF, quite often you'll hear people ask for a signal report, which is a more formal thing. But it goes to the same issue. When you speak, you can't hear yourself. You have to rely on a quality statement from someone else who is hearing you, someone else that you're in QSO with. And that's all. KK4JBQ.
So I'm going to take a second here and introduce you to a new term. So you heard Larry say the term QSO. Do you by chance know what QSO means?
Remember the acronym, but not offhand.
So, when you are communicating on the radio, there are a whole list of Q codes that typically are used on high frequency. But because stations that check into this net migrate between UHF, VHF, and HF frequencies, you will hear some of those Q codes that will filter down to a 2 meter net like tonight. And Larry just used one of those codes, one of those Q codes. And if you'll go to the ARRL website or just go to the Google machine and type in ham radio Q codes, it will give you about 3 pages of codes that means this. So, just so you know, when Larry said QSO, that was intended, it is a group of words. When you are sending Morse code, instead of sending a whole long sentence, you send a code that means this sentence. So, Larry just said one of them, and that's QSO. And QSO basically means a conversation. The actual definition is, and it's important to know, that a QSO is a statement and a question. So in the Q code listing, QSO means, can you communicate direct or by relay? Or it also means, I can communicate with direct or by relay. So when you hear Larry say, I enjoyed the QSO, that means I basically enjoyed the conversation, either by direct or by relay. You may also hear the word QSL, which means, did you copy? Or I acknowledge your receipt. So, and I'll give you the second one. So, did you understand what I just said? The Q code for that would be QSL.
If you're using voice, receiving a voice transmission, especially with QSL and some others that can be taken either as a statement or as a question. In English class, we call it an interrogatory or a question. But it can be taken both ways. In voice, you can tell from the inflection. So if you say QSL, that sounds like a question, right? Or if you say QSL, that's simply a confirmation. It all depends on the inflection, but this works only with voice communication. KK4JBQ.
Head Lord.
I'll definitely look over those and practice up on those.
Hey Lord, let me make sure I got it. Hey, I'm proud of you, and glad you met that benchmark. I pushed you a little hard the other night, probably shouldn't have, but you know the old adage, now you're the better man for it. So with that, I will say I enjoyed the QSO with you tonight, and this is a Kilo Oscar 4 November Uniform Echo, and I will be clear on your final, sir.
Roger. And tomorrow, I'll definitely do the fact that my Masonic Lodge got it finalized. If it's okay, we're going to start a blood drive on this coming Saturday. Actually, it's going to be December the 7th. That way, any blood connection that you'll go to, you'll see a tri-fold border poster, and you'll just pick that lodge number, and then the so many units that donated to that lodge, then they will get recognition and some money monetary that we're going to donate to a local charity, if that's okay to announce.
So, Larry, you wanna take that? I'm gonna clear on out. I am beat down, but I think I kind of understand what he's saying. But Larry, I enjoyed the QSO with you, and Lord, you as well. And I will be clear for the evening. And this is KO4NUE. I'm going to secure my station. And 7-3s to all. And see you on the net tomorrow night. Larry, I'll give you a call on the landline tomorrow. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
And to you, Chad. It's been quite a day, a very good day. And let me add, while you're still listening, that I admire what you did this evening on the net. I think our net control got a dose of medicine. Maybe it'll do some good. And, Lord, it was mighty fine to have you here tonight. And you're most welcome in our company. But I will have to sign because my tire is showing too. So, KO4NUE. KO4PXB, KI4LZI, if you're still listening, Andy. This is KK4JBQ. And here's another one for you, Lloyd. I'll be going QSY. Good night.
KO4PXB. I remember that one. That's from the learning of the books and stuff for the test.
A lot of learning going on. I'll jump back in just to say this. The most efficient way to learn something is to use something. I'm kind of fond of these simple ways of saying things because I too often put too many words to anything. So when I find something that works with very few words, I hang on to it. So the easiest way to learn something is to use it. And Chad will remember that I once told him about antennas, that everything affects everything. That says a lot in a few words. And this is what the cue signals are supposed to be. As it does irritate some 2-meter folks, because it is a bleed over from the HF side of things. But it is an efficient way to say something. A shortcut. NCW way. If you're tapping out every letter of every word, you want to be efficient. You want to be short to get the message across. So the cue code's developed, and it's just, you don't stack them up. You just throw one in every once in a while. You don't stack them up. Even if they might be appropriate, that really would confuse somebody. But to say QSL or QST or QSO, they're all defined. It's illegal for us to use anything that is not widely understood. In other words, to talk in code, undecipherable code, that's illegal. But if it's something like the Q codes, it's perfectly legal. It does have a place, even on 2 meters. Good night to you, Lloyd. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.